The brave folks tonight that came to church, even though you know you have homework. Boo. Some of you guys came tonight even though you have practice. Dang. Some people, you came tonight even though you got in trouble earlier today.
You don't get to cheer for that. You got to cheer for that one. I know. It happens. It wasn't your fault. It was not your fault. I don't care what they say. But you guys are here, man. School. I know school is always a hard thing, getting adjusted to it. My kids are crazy. So I get it. So I know sometimes it's just good to get out of the house. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, hey, let's do this. If you guys got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm 42. That's right. Psalm 42, and we're going to go through that whole thing. That's right, the whole thing tonight. And as you guys are flipping there, let's go ahead and pray. Let's go before the Lord tonight, and let's just pray that God would bless this time that we're here today. So, Father, we just thank you. We honor you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to be able to come into your house. God, that your spirit is present. God, that your anointing is present. God, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here and you're ready to speak to us. God, to give us words of life. So tonight, God, we want them. God, tonight, we need to hear from you. God, tonight, we don't need another idea or a suggestion, but Lord, tonight, we need to hear truth from your throne. God, we need truth from heaven to shake our world so we can bring change to the people around us, so we can be a help and a hope, a light to the world around us. So, Father, we thank you that we get a chance to come into church, hear from your word, and God, we ask that your word would not just go into our ears, but Lord, go into our heart, our life, and changes from the inside out. God, as we pray these things, Lord, we ask that you bless us tonight as your spirit teaches us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen and amen.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. We're talking about emotions. Okay, first week we talked about, yes, burning and anger, Hulk, smash. It was so wonderfully put last weekend. But we talked about anger, all the frustrated people in the world. Last week, all the stressed people in the world. Is anybody still stressed? Is he still stressed? It's been a stressful week. Oh, okay. All right. Hands down. Stressing me out. Just looking at all you guys. All right. Because life is stressful. Family, friends, frenemies, teachers, authority figures get a brother angry. And today I want to talk about a tough one. I want to talk about sadness. That's right, the one with the blue one with the glasses. That one, that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about sadness. Now, remember, emotions aren't bad. Like, I'm not against the emoji. I'm a great friend of the emoji. I've been doing the high five lately a lot. That's the one I've been kind of working the high five emoji a lot on my phone. But emotions are a good thing. I mean, literally, sadness, whether it's anger, you know, whether it's frustration. I mean, God gave us these emotions for a reason. And God wouldn't give it to you if it was bad. Can a brother get an amen? Mm-hmm. Thank you, three people. We're paying attention. And emotions are a good thing as long as your emotions aren't in the driver's seat. See, emotions can help navigate, but they cannot drive. Because emotions are a terrible master, but they're a wonderful slave, right? Remember what we've been saying? Emotions can speak to you, but not for you. Because then you say angry, stupid things at your mom and you get smacked. That's what happens. When your emotions speak to you, you say stupid things to your friend. That's how you lose your girlfriend. Okay, is when your emotions speak for you, or they could get you into a lot of trouble, okay? Because you've got to be in control of your life. And your emotions, when you're angry, they're telling you something that you need to pay attention to. When you're sad, they're telling you something that you need to pay attention to. Your emotions sometimes are the little alarm that goes off that says you need to pray, that you need to slow down, that something's wrong and you need to fix it. So you got to listen to them. But you can't let them run your life. And today is one of the big ones. Because see, all these things can get you into trouble. Anger can get you into danger. Pressure can get you into danger. Pressure, we talked last week, is one of those things that can literally make you physically sick if you're stressed out all the time. It can literally destroy your physical heart if you're too stressed all the time. And depression, man, it's just one of those things. Sadness, depression, being bummed out. I mean, just being hopeless, despondent. Man, isn't it crazy how many words there are for sadness? Like, have you ever thought about how many ways you can describe sadness? Dejected, depressed, sad, bummed out,
downer of a day. I mean, there's like a lot of words to describe sadness. And it's really kind of crazy that we have so many ways of expressing it. I mean, that just kind of tells you right there. And it can make us do the dumbest things. Yeah, I mean, heavy story. I mean, I had a friend that lived across the street, and he had a girlfriend that he was dating for years. Well, anyway, she broke up with him, and he couldn't get over it. And you know, I think he was 17 at the time. But anyway, it was so bad that he went to his girlfriend's house, and he literally tried to kill himself. He tried to kill himself on his girlfriend's front lawn one night because he could not get over it. He could not get over this relationship ending. Depression had driven him to try to end his life. You know, as a youth pastor, I've heard too many stories of suicides. I've talked to too many kids that cut themselves. I've talked to too many people that just don't know how to snap out of it. Look, let's just be real. We've all had a bad day, all right? Am I right? We've all had a terrible, no good, rotten, bad day. And sometimes some bad days are harder to get out of. Have you ever been in the funk? You ever had, not like the groovy funk. No, I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not talking about that funk. That's a good funk. But have you ever been in the funk where you just can't, it's like you're just on Eeyore mode all week. And you just can't kick that little cloud that's following you around. And sometimes, you know, if you've ever been in the funk like I've been in the funk, you know, people ask you, "What's wrong, mijo?" And I'm like, no. I don't even think it does that. Oh, that's not even the words in the alphabet for that one. It's like, and that's what happens sometimes is you can get so dejected, that's right, that you don't even know why you feel this way. It happens with emotions sometimes. You get so wrapped up in the emotion, you forget the thing that started the emotion in the first place. You're just mad because you're so mad. I don't even know why I'm mad. I just want to punch somebody. I'm just so sad because I don't know. Because life is terrible and global warming and kittens dying and everything terrible in the world. Drop my hamburger on the ground. No, Lord, no! Apocalypse now. And we get the funk. And sometimes it can feel like no matter what anybody does, it can't get you out of it. I mean, sometimes you're in the funk so bad that when you see other people happy, it pushes your funk further down, because you're thinking everybody else is happy except for me. I'm terrible, and it makes me even more sad because the other people are happy. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that before, but it's a thing, and it can happen. And you got to defunkify yourself. You guys are at Psalm 42, right? Right. I see everybody flipping their Bibles vicariously. Wait a minute. Okay. Who does not have their Bible today? See, I'm gonna bring a Nerf gun. I'm gonna pop everybody in the head. Blah 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 blah. I'm just gonna with a little orange dart. Just everybody in the head doesn't have a Bible. You guys have your phones, right? The only app you're allowed to open right now is a Bible app. So you may do that right now if you like to. But okay, let's go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. I want to read you this whole chapter because I don't know if you've ever read the Psalms before. It's like in the middle. It's a really long book. A lot of like poems, songs. But the Psalms are really nice because they keep it real. The Psalms are basically people's prayers, songs, and poems they wrote out to God. These are the ones that they would sing over time. You know, like we sing our songs here. This is their songbook back in the day. And they just keep it real. And this psalm is kind of like everything we need to talk about today for all the sad people in the house. Pastor Rich, I'm a really happy person. I don't care if you're happy. You know some sad people. So you know how to help sad people. It says in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you." See, that's poetic right there. We're talking about deer. And, you know, that's a metaphor. We're not really talking about deers. We're talking about you. You're the deer. You're the deer. You're the deer. Panting for water right there. Look at that deer. Oh, my. This is, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so," there's a metaphor, "so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God." Who? The living God. So when can I go and stand before him? Day and night. Now catch this. Day and night, I have only tears for food. Dang. While my enemies continually taunt and make fun of me. And what are they saying? Where's your God now? They're saying, where is this God of yours? Don't you just hate it? Oh, don't even get me started, man. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. Now we're going to take a trip down back in memory lane. This is the way, the good old days. My heart breaks when I remember how life used to be. I walked among the crowds of the worshipers. I was leading great processions to the house of God. We were singing for joy. We were giving thanks. And amid the sound of a great celebration, sounds like a party. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I know, I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again. My Savior, my God, now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from the distant Mount Hermon. That sounds like, anyway, that's kind of cool. It's the source of the Jordan River, the land of Mount Mizar, that's far away. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and your surging tides sweep over me. That sounds like the song we just sang. But each day the Lord, he will pour his unfailing love upon me. Though each night I sing his songs, I will pray to the God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I'll cry. Why? Why have you forgotten me? You ever felt like that before? Like you just pray and it just hits the ceiling and just right in your carpet? You ever felt like God wasn't real? You ever felt like God wasn't there for you when you needed him? I mean, just being real, because that's what the psalmist is saying. He says this, why, God, why did you forget me? Why do I have to wander around in grief, opposed by my enemies? Their taunts, they break my bones. Snaps. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? He kind of wraps it all up in this verse. He says, why? Why am I still discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? He doesn't even know. He's so wrapped up in his depression. He doesn't even know anymore. I know, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. The whole thing wraps up with this last verse, and it's just kind of like, you guys feel the roller coaster? I'm so happy I love God. Where is he? Everybody's making fun of me. Oh, wait, he's my God, my rock, my Sabbath. But people are making fun of me. And it's just like this roller coaster of a psalm, this guy's emotions. I mean, if you ever wrote poetry, you know what I'm saying, for all my sensitive folk out there? This is exactly what it is. And he's in this funk, and he's fighting. You can almost hear him fighting and scratching to get out of it. And if you look at what he does, you know, you look at every time there was a down, he kind of began to pull himself back up. He began to kind of just find that little glimmer of light. He's like, there's the light at the end of the tunnel. I want that light. Give me the shining. And he begins to pull himself out of that funk. And he says right here, it says, as the deer, you're the deer, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you're a hungry, you're a thirsty deer. Be the deer, be the deer, be the deer. The hungry deer. You look like a thirsty deer. You're the thirsty deer, hungry deer. Thirsty deer, just a deer. You're a deer. Deer, you're panting. Yeah, you can be, you're a doe. Doe, a deer. No, a female deer. Okay, stop it. We're not going into song tonight. Look, the brother's hungry. If you've ever been hangry before, then you understand hunger can elicit emotion. Yes. Yes, that's why I have a Snickers in my pocket. Have you seen those commercials? Have you seen the Snickers commercials where it's like that? Where it's like machete, you know, he's all, and then he eats the Snickers, and he turns into a little girl. Hunger changes you, right? It could change your brother. This one says Loopy. My sister-in-law wanted me to get the one that says Princess. I do not turn into a princess when I'm hungry. Pastor Richard is not a princess, okay? Not even a warrior princess. That's not me. Loopy's pretty good. Stop it. Before you make me angry, you don't want to. You don't want to see me angry. All right. So, but it's just like that. Is anybody hungry in here? Where am I hungry? Where's the... Wait. Hold on a second. I just tried to find the hungry deer, and nobody wanted to be the hungry deer. You didn't want to be the hungry deer. But you want to be the thirsty deer. You're the thirsty deer. Thirsty deer. Thirsty. No more. Oh, stop it. Stop it now. Focus. Where are we at? Psalm 42. Thank you. Psalm 42 says this. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. That's on a hot day, your dog needs some water. You know, it's funny. It's funny that thirst has to be quenched. You will always be thirsty until you will always be hungry and angry and grumpy and frustrated until you finally feed the need. You know, I don't know if you realize, but your soul gets hungry. Your soul needs to be fed. Your soul, your spirit needs food. You need soul food. And I'm not talking chicken and waffles. I'm talking soul food, like stuff you need to feed your heart. Because your heart, the Bible says that as the deer pants for water, as the deer hungers, so my soul. You know, a hungry soul is a sad soul. A depressed soul is a hungry soul. If you find yourself in a funk, do you know what that means? That means you're hungry. If you find yourself angry, that means you are hungry. If you find yourself frustrated, you are hungry. And you need to feed your soul something to get rid of that depression. Your soul is crying out to be fed. Because just as the deer pants for water, it goes on a journey to look for what it needs to quench its thirst. It says in Psalm 42, and this is the crazy part. It says, as the deer pants for water, my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God. Who? The living God. And the problem with this world is that it will feed your soul junk and it will feed your soul poison. Have you ever been so hungry? You will eat anything. You will look into the crevices of your back car, or back part of your car, and eat anything if you are so hungry. You will go into the pantry and you will eat saltine crackers until your brain explodes if you are that hungry. People in this room have been so hungry, you have eaten Top Ramen dry. And you have fooled yourself into thinking it's tasty. I am here to tell you it's not. Look, guys, this kid's eating banana peels, for love of God. Can you please give him your Snickers? There's a famine out there. Wrap it up. We got to get spiritual real quick. I got to wrap this thing up. Bring it in. Can I get serious real quick? Good, because I'm going to. Now, here's the problem. Is you get so hungry, you'll eat anything, naturally. But your soul gets so hungry, your soul will take anything for nourishment. Your soul, look, this is, now I just told you a story about a young man that tried to, he tried to kill himself on his girlfriend's front lawn. Why? Because his soul was so hungry, he was willing to do anything to make the hunger go away. People get into relationships. Look, if you or somebody you know cannot go a month without a relationship, your soul is hungry and you are feeding it the wrong things. If you are just waiting and dying for the next double tap on your Instagram account, you are feeding your soul the wrong things. If you are caught up in drugs, weed, alcohol, peer approval, if you are caught up in what you look like and the number on your scale, you are feeding your soul the wrong thing. If you cannot get rid of the razor blade you hide in your bedroom, you are feeding your soul the wrong thing. You are starving, and the only thing that will satisfy is a living God, not a dying world. Stop starving your soul. This guy knew what he needed. He was depressed on the very brink of giving up. And he said, I know my soul needs Jesus Christ. My soul needs God. And he needed to dive in to the way things ought to be. A hungry stomach will not shut up until you feed your belly. And a depressed spirit will not shut up until you feed your soul. So what have you been eating lately? What have you been panting for? What have you been thirsting for? What have you been hungering for? What's on your menu? It says here in verse 9, I will say to the God of my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression? He was hungry and he needed to be reminded. You see, it says in verse 4, it says, now look, I'm going to go on the way back machine here. And when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. I used to. Somebody say used to. Some of y'all need to go back to what you used to do. I used to go to the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy. But this depressed man, it says here, I used to lead the great procession. This guy was a worship leader. He was out front dancing and jumping for God. And now he's alone in his room, crying, moko face, everything. Okay? He's got the ugly cry. It's not even cute anymore, but it looked like Kim Kardashian probably. And it's just bad. But then he remembers, where was he when he used to be happy? The house of God. See, you know what it's like. You get sad. You don't want to be around anybody. You just want to stay in your pajamas all day and eat ice cream, put your pillow on your head, watch reruns on Netflix, SpongeBob all day, air day. Whatever. Whatever your show is nowadays. You young ones. The Walking Dead. Yes, The Walking Dead. See, and that's the perfect plan of the enemy. He remembers he was happy when he was in the house of God. And we get depressed or guilty. They don't want me. Nobody likes me. They'll ask me questions. You need to slap yourself. Slap yourself, silly, and get back to where the people are joyful, where the people have what you need. You cannot and will not do anything good alone. Look, man, even a weightlifter needs a spotter, right? You don't want to snap your little twig neck. If you still have a neck, even a weightlifter needs a spotter. Hello. Those little cheerleader girls, they throw up in the sky. There's somebody that's supposed to catch them. Thank you. The flyer person, Nakia, whoever that is. You were never designed to do this alone. And when you're depressed and you don't want to see anybody, is when you need to see people. When you don't want to go to church, you need to go to church. When you don't want to talk to nobody, you need to talk to somebody. You need to look at yourself and say, I don't care what I want. I need to get what I need. And you need to be around people that love you to life. You need to be around people who are going to ask you the questions you don't want to answer. You need a friend to say, what don't you want to talk about? Because we're going to talk about that right now. Where don't you want to go today? Because we're going to go there. Because we need to get you fixed. My brother needs some food. He's eating banana peels. That makes me sad. Dang. Even the monkeys know you don't need to peel. See, he says right here, why? Why am I discouraged? My heart is breaking because I remember the way things used to be. I was with people and we were worshiping God and his presence was there and the anointing was breaking every yoke over me. Man, that's tough. Christian, you may not even know what that means. That means God is fixing your problem. It means God gets you broke so he can fix you. He says, their taunts are what I hear. My enemies are talking smack on me all day. You ever realize that most of the voices you hear when you're sad and alone are the bad voices? Right? You are alone, but all your memories are just jacked up. That's why you need to get away from being alone and get around the people that will love you to life. Your parents, that's right. I know they're crazy, but you know what? They love you. Your friends, not your stupid friends, your godly friends, okay? You need to stop with the dumb friend thing, okay? You need to get into your word, get into worship. You need to turn some decent music on. You need to get in the presence of God around people. We had a friend, and she was just dropping off the face of the earth. That was probably about 5 years ago. So me and my family, we all hopped into cars, and we did an impromptu intervention. We basically kicked her door down. We made her sit down. We brought her food, and we just talked to her for like 3 hours because she was isolating herself. And we said, "We love you so much. We're not letting you fade away." And we spent time in her house. We weren't invited, but we didn't care because we wanted her to know that she's too important to fade away into the sunset. That's what a real friend does. He remembered the way things used to be. And you know the thing about depression is you just can't see the way out. Like, you literally can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's why people are depressed. Like, sad people, you get sad because, like, stuff's, like, legitimately worth being sad. Like, you break up with somebody, like, that's sad. Like, you deserve a good cry and a pint of ice cream. All right? That's okay. You could do that. You can do a couple of hours of your TV shows, YouTube, whatever the case is. You get that. But then you get that over with. The problem is depression sets in. When sadness begins to talk for you, it shuts the blinds and you can't see any hope. It says here in verse 5, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I need to put my hope in God." You know what hope is? Hope means that you see Jesus in tomorrow. Hope means that you can see Jesus in tomorrow. Can you see Jesus in your tomorrow? Like third period, right now. Can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus in PE tomorrow? Like, you better. Can you see Jesus in your friend? Hope means that I see Jesus in tomorrow. Hopelessness means that tomorrow all I see is bad news. There is hope says there's nothing good coming tomorrow. But that's not what my Bible talks about. That's not what my God talks about. He says joy comes in the morning. Sorrow at night, but joy in the morning. Something good's on my way. Hope says that tomorrow has a chance of getting better. It's cloudy. Oh, but there's a chance of meatballs. Something good's on its way. In Jesus' name. This is verse 6. It says, "I will praise him again, my Savior, my God." He begins to kick himself out of the funk. He says, "Now I'm deeply discouraged, but I'm jacked up right now, but I'm not going to stay this way. I will remember you. I will remember you." Let me get the band up here, or somebody playing piano or something prettier, or whatever that case is. You know, it's funny because he goes through this thing right around here, and it's like he's arguing with himself. You know, you crazy people argue with yourselves. Why? I don't know, just because. Oh, now people think you're crazy because you're talking to yourself. So what? I don't even care. You know, you have those conversations. Here he goes, having this conversation. Why am I depressed? I'm going to hope in God, but it's so hard. It's so difficult. He says, God's my rock. But why have you forgotten me if you're my rock? Why do I have to wander around in grief? Why are these guys around me giving me such a hard time? The bullies won't go away. I can't forget the bad things that have happened to me. But God is my rock. I hope in him. You see, if you're in a funk, if you're jacked up, or if you have a friend that you know is they're just having a tough time in life right now. Maybe their folks are splitting up. Maybe they're just having a hard time with friends. Maybe they're not adjusting to different things. Your brother or sister, something like that. Maybe you're missing a family member. They went overseas, or maybe you lost someone recently. It's easy to get in this funk, but you have to get yourself out of it. Because there is hope. There's always hope. Look, when it comes to the things of God, there's always hope. And you know, we're a church. And you're surrounded by a family of believers. Look, you may not know everybody here, and sure, the person next to you might be a punk. It happens sometimes. But we're all in this together, and we're all here to pray for each other. I mean, you got all these adults back here. They just stand around and sit in these chairs, and they just wait to tell you something good. I mean, they did a full 8 hours, 10 hours of work today, and they came here just to tell you guys how much Jesus loves you. And that's amazing to me. They do this for free. You are surrounded by people that when you don't have hope, they have hope for you. When you need joy, they have joy for you.